Well, we learned some things last week, didn't we? I learned some good things. Last week, what did we talk about? Grace, that's right. It's all the hymns that John picked out have to do with grace, and I think that's wonderful because grace goes right along with the message that we have this morning. Last week, we looked at the grace of God, and we looked at the parable in Luke chapter 14, and what was that parable about? The banquet. The banquet, and how I thought of myself as the host and was completely wrong because that's not my place. What all did we learn about that parable? That what?
We all have excuses.
There were those who were invited to the banquet by the host and had excuses, and so they didn't come. What else? That I'm not God. We learned that. What else did we learn? What was the whole point of that? What was that by?
Be ready.
We are all leveled by the grace of God, is basically what Rick just said. We're not worthy. Christ was saying, nobody deserves to be here, so there's not one room in the church for arrogance of any sort because there's nothing you can do to deserve to be here. And Bob last week openly admitted that he was a bum. And it ain't changed in the past week, which is good. Bob is grounded in the fact that he knows he's one of the people that came into the church after the host invited the people and they didn't come, the people who were supposed to be there, worth of being there, and they all had excuses. And so God sent his servant, or the host sent his servant out into the streets and to get the blind and the lame and the beggars and all those people and the bums. And Bob realizes that he is one of those. I am one of those, and you guys are one of those that were not invited initially, but we're given grace to be here. And so there's nothing that we have done to deserve to be here. The grace of God has leveled us all. So that's what we learned last week. Especially I like what I learned about Bob, because this confirms that the way I feel about myself, someone else feels the same thing. Okay, and along with this level playing field of grace, we find out if we're all, nobody deserves to be here, what about our worth? What does that mean? Aren't we all worth the same? We're all equal. Everybody's worth is equal to that of the grace of Jesus, right? If it's only by grace that we're here, nothing that we can do, then those things that we talked about, the social groups that we talked about, how the world says some people are worth more than other people, that doesn't exist in God, right? So in the church, in Christ, no one is worth more than anyone else. Now, there's nothing that we can find or do. We can't find or do anything that truly gives us worth outside of the grace of God. So, is there anything that you can do to make yourselves more worthy? Anybody? Is there anything that you can do to make yourself more worthy? Then why do we try? Let's talk about some of the things that the world teaches us we can get our worth from. What does the world say you can get your worth from?
Money.
Money. Okay, I got that one written down.
Fame.
Education.
Ooh.
The jobs, careers. Okay. Where else do we find our worth in the world? Social people, so relationships,
accomplishments,
parents, okay, we'll check that off for family, accomplishments, political leaders. Okay. What about possessions? We said money, but then there's possessions. How about body image? Is that not a hot thing in the world? Status, yep, that gives you status. What about talents? What about our sports heroes and stars and how much they get paid and that sort of thing? Okay, so these are all things that the world tells us we can find our worth in, right? All of these things are used to measure our worth, and the thing is that when we live in the world, sometimes it starts to sink in. And I know it did for me. Maybe we don't think that this stuff is sinking into us, right? No, I know my worth doesn't come from the world, and yet I said that, and my actions and my attitudes showed otherwise. I knew that my worth didn't come from the world. It didn't come from these things, and yet my attitudes came from these things. When I was at Malone and I was in the music program, I was pretty darn arrogant. My wife met me at that stage of my life. It wasn't pretty. I came in as a freshman, one of the top vocalists in the program, and I thought that made me something. And I used to look at other people in the music program, and I purposely used to make them feel bad about themselves. And then I'd say, like, well, I'm blah, 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 I'm not very good either, you know, kind of in a sarcastic tone. No, but I used to get my worth from being in that program because I was one of the higher, it's not even a big college, nothing to brag about, but I was one of those people in the program, and I thought I had worth because I was making it through the program. You know, a lot of freshmen would come in saying, I'm going to be a music major. I'm going to be a music education major, a vocal performance major, and I'm like, I've heard your voice. This is the truth. I'd be like, I'm not going to hurt your feelings, but you're not going to succeed at that. That was my attitude. And when people would drop out of the music program, I used to sing the Another One Bites the Dust song. Right in front of them sometimes. Just because of how much worth it made me feel that I was sticking through the program and that I could handle it and that I was above them in that way. But I knew my worth didn't come from those things, but boy, did my actions and attitudes show otherwise. You can talk to my wife afterwards. She'll tell you all about it. Now, this lie is a lie that we can have worth outside of the grace of God, right? This is a lie. Where does that lie come from? Satan. It comes from the world. And the more that we become of the world, the more this lie becomes truth, right? The more you are of the world, the more that the lies of the world become truth to you, and you start believing them. It's hard to tell them apart. Now, I believe the lie that I could be better than someone else because of my talents. Remember last week we talked about the concept of the upside-down kingdom? How, to the world, all of God's truths look upside down because they're opposite. The world says you can find worth in the world, you can find strength in the world, you can do all these things, and God's truth says, no, you can't. Anything that you do in the world is in vain if it's not with me. Only through Christ do you have worth, because when it ends. And if you're not in Christ, you're ended. But if you're in God's kingdom, God's truths stay truths. If you're got that relationship with God and you are in God's truths, then you see the world for what it is and the world's lies for what they are, and you begin to see these things for lies. That's when I began to see that I was lying to myself. I'm not better than anybody else because of any talents. So what happens when you realize that all the things that you got your worth from didn't actually give you any worth at all? Has anybody ever been through that? I see Peggy's laughing. Thank you for being honest. All the things that you thought you got your worth from don't amount to anything. What happens to you? What'd you say?
Feel relieved?
Feel relieved once you know it. Pretty sobering finding it out. Yeah, it was. I came from here down to here. All of a sudden, I went from being host to being a bum on the street. Your heart really gets rearranged, doesn't it? For myself, I was broken. I was very, very broken. And that has a lot to do with today's message. When we hopefully realize that our worth, although not found in worldly things, can be even greater in the grace of God, it's not over right there, because all of a sudden, you've got to somehow train yourself to understand that your worth comes from Christ, and all those things that I got my worth from, why was I broken? Because I got my strength from them too. All the things that I got my worth from, I got my strength from. The question right now is, where does your worth come from? The question last week, where does your worth come from? It's the grace of God. The question this week is, where does your strength come from? And when I lost my worth from the world, I also lost my strength from the world. The world can make you feel strong, can't it? The world can make you feel strong. The accomplishments not only make you feel of worth, but make you feel strong also. Let's look at some of those things we talked about. Your job and your career. Who can find strength in their job and in their career? Reg is shaking his head no. There's a lot of people who can find strength in their career. They find there's power there, depending on what their career is. If they've worked themselves up the corporate ladder or whatever, there's a lot of strength there. Gives you strength to go through the day. Relationships. Who finds strength in relationships? Come on now. Who finds strength in your relationships? Bob says no. Sorry, Jeanette. I can't help you with that one. She speaks for both of you. You find strength in your relationships. One thing that wasn't mentioned, positions in the church. That's one I think that more people find their worth from than a lot of things, what they do inside the church. And we do it to ourselves. Don't we elevate the pastor up to where we think he should be? And then the pastor's got to keep bringing himself back down. No, guys, seriously. Okay, find worth from our positions in the church. We find worth from strength from our money, don't we? If we've got money, we can buy protection, we're secure in the future, we find all of this strength, and it makes us feel good, doesn't it? What about our talents? Don't we rely on those things? What about our body image? Our education, we find security, strength in these things. Funny, actually. So when I lost my worth from the world, I also lost my strength from the world, because I felt really strong in my talents. Remember last week how I was sharing with you guys that the world was telling me that I really had something going? That's funny. I really thought I had something going at some point, and I got a lot of strength from that. I got so much strength out of that program at Malone. Puffed my chest out, got up every day, walked around like a big man. Relationships. I got a lot of strength from my family relationships. You know what happened when my parents got divorced? Crumbled. Just absolutely, absolutely devastated. Because my strength was in my family relationships. The truth is that there's only one source of strength that is true and will never let you down. Think about these things. If we put strength in money, what happens to money? Can't take it with you. Money runs out. We all know the stock market's money runs out fast. What about in our talents? Can we put strength in our talents? Can we find our strength there? Because what happens to our talents? Don't they fade? Tell you what, I can't seem like I used to. I'm already going downhill. What about our relationships? What happens when we put our... Now, God put relationships on earth for a reason. He made Eve for Adam, not because it was a necessity, but because it was better. Now, we can help encourage one another. The Bible says to spur one another on, and in Christ, we can help draw strength from one another, but only if that strength comes from Christ. What happens if you put your strength in just a relationship, in your marriage? What if your spouse passes? Where did your strength go? Very interesting to me, because the world teaches the exact opposite of these, doesn't it? The world teaches you to live the dream, get the job, make the money, get the body image, get the girl, the trophy wife. and you'll have strength, and you'll have worth, and you'll have meaning. But that's not what God says at all. The Psalms is what we're going to look at today. Our first psalm is Psalm 127. The Psalms are full of truths about God's strength and about how without God we have none. Now I'm going to read verses 1 and 2 in Psalm 127. It says, "Unless the Lord builds the house, its builders labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchmen stand guard in vain. In vain you rise early and stay up late, toiling for food to eat, for he grants sleep to those he loves." What's that saying? Did anybody catch the message in there? Exactly. You can build your house, you can build your career, you can save up all this money, but if it's not God, you're working for something that's going to be in vain. I like the part about the watchman standing guard. Because don't we do that? How many people guard their possessions? Who locks their doors when they leave the house? Who locks their car? Who locks their keys in their car? Who carries a gun with them when they go places? Thank you, Hammers and Higgins family. I thought so. But unless the Lord is watching over these things, isn't it in vain? There's only one stronghold, and that's God, and that's what that psalm is saying. Psalm 125, verses 1 and 2. "Those who trust in the Lord are like Mount Zion, which cannot be shaken but endures forever. As the mountains surround Jerusalem, so the Lord surrounds his people both now and forevermore." It's saying God surrounds his people. Psalm 124, verse 8, "Our help is in the name of the Lord, the maker of heaven and on earth." And then finally, Psalm 121. Who knows Psalm 121 by heart? Psalm 121 is a very famous, well-known psalm. We know it, but do we know it well? What does it say? It says, "I lift up my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forevermore." Now this psalm is written by someone who knows that his strength comes from the Lord. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. What we need to understand today is that there are many things that we try to find our strength in. Don't we? I do. We may not realize it, but there are so many things that we try to find strength in. Psalm 127 says, "Unless the Lord is the one building the house, or unless the Lord is the one watching over you, it's all in vain." See, strength that the world teaches is just an illusion. It's a distraction. Saying you can be safe if you carry a gun. You can be safe if you have a big savings account. You can be safe if you have a great career. You can be safe in a relationship. Yeah, Bob?
I want to witness that I've been next to death twice. I've been within inches of it. And I wasn't saved. I hadn't met Christ yet. I had no fear. But I can tell you this. Nothing of this earth will be on your mind at that time. Not one thing. Not one thing. After I've met Christ, I have a message now. And he's let me live both through those instances. That the last words I want in my mind or on my lips are, "Thank you, Father, for all you do."
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Bob. So the last question we asked ourselves this morning is, where does your strength come from? Examine yourselves. Maybe ask someone else what they see. A lot of times, our hearts can lie to us. Mine did. We can be deceived by the world. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, be honest, sometimes it's hard to trust in you. In our humanness, sometimes it's hard to realize that we can only draw strength from you when we think that, but I can do it here, but I can draw strength here. But the truth is that only you are where strength comes from. The only thing lasting, the only thing worth of value is you. Heavenly Father, as we go today, I pray that you would work in our lives. I pray that you would help us to see the truth, see our grace, see ourselves for who we really are, see the grace given to us by Jesus Christ, and see the strength and worth given to us only through Christ and not through the world, not through the things that we have put our trust in before. Amen.